2003, Jose Martinez, better known as JR, was an active duty Army specialist serving in Iraq. He had grown up in a Salvadoran household in Arkansas, graduated from high school in Georgia, and then immediately enlisted in the Army. He'd only been in Iraq for 2 months when his Humvee drove right over an IED, detonating the bomb and trapping JR inside the vehicle. He was eventually rescued, but only after suffering smoke inhalation and severe burns that covered a third of his body. Now, if you recognize the name JR Martinez, it might be because of what happened afterwards. Post-recovery, JR toured the world speaking at military bases, and then he landed an acting gig on the soap opera All My Children. He played a combat veteran returning to civilian life.
Your medal? No, I can't accept this. It's too much.
No, of course you can. It's going to keep you safe when I'm not there to have you back.
And that's not all.
Dancing the rumba, J.R. Martinez and his partner Karina
Stern. J.R.'s true national debut was as a contestant on season 13 of Dancing with the Stars, which he won with partner Karina Smirnoff. Since then, he's had numerous other media appearances, both as an actor and as a guest. J.R. joined us at our Latino USA studios, and we talked about what motivates him and where he continues to draw his strength. So you made this big transition. You just left your home in Texas. Now you're in New York. You're known by millions right around the world. So how often do you feel alone?
I do feel loneliness. I do. And I'm not afraid to say that. I mean, a few months ago, part of me kind of figuring out a lot of things. Yes, J.R. Martinez had a lot to figure out. I don't have it all figured out, and I'm not, you know, just this expert and his guru that just has it all figured out. I went and saw a therapist because I just felt like I needed to talk to somebody else, and it didn't need to be my mother. It didn't need to be my best friends. It needed to be somebody completely different that had no skin in the game to say, J.R., this is where you need to change. This is what you need to work on. This is what, you know, whatever the case may be. But I do feel lonely. It's really a good thing, I think, for me. Because, you know, I'm so used to people coming up to me and talking to me and then a lot of people asking me that I really do invite those moments of being lonely, being alone. And I allow myself to be in that moment and to be present. And whatever emotion I feel, to feel that emotion.
JR, I want to ask you a delicate question. It's about something that you've spoken about before, and it's this connection that you have with your sister, Annabelle, who actually passed away when she was a little girl, and she passed away even before you could meet her. So how did Annabelle's passing affect you and your family?
When I was 9 years old, that was my second time going to El Salvador. It had been 6 years since Annabelle, my sister, passed away. We went to El Salvador. My mother took me to my Annabelle's burial site. At 9 years old, I was overwhelmed with emotion, crying over a sister that I never met. And I had no idea why. And I remember to the point where my mom telling me, I can vividly remember my mom, "All right, mijo, ya nos tenemos que ir, we have to leave," and trying to like pull me away, but I didn't want to leave. And it made no sense to me. Well, came back to the States, moved on with my life. 10 years later, 19 years old, in Karbala, Iraq, trapped inside of a Humvee. The noise, the loudness of the fire, bullets heating up and shooting off, ammo shooting off that was inside of the vehicle, pleading for help, pleading for someone to come and pull me out. And a mix of thoughts of my mother and my life was going to end and accepting death. All of a sudden, this calm peacefulness and this image presents itself.
Annabelle?
Annabelle.
Oh, my God.
My sister, in the only way that I ever saw her in a picture that my mother showed me.
Wow.
Presents herself to me and literally says to me, "You're going to be okay." Ugh. Not a second, but like a tenth of a second after that, I was pulled out of the Humvee. And I remember telling my mother when I came out of my medical-induced coma, I told my mother the story about that. And of course, my mother was just overwhelmed with tears. And she said, "You know, mijo, I think she's your guardian angel." And I said, I think you're right. She is my guardian angel. And there's been some really cool moments since then where I found out I got the job on all my children on my sister's birthday. There's just been so many things that I've been able to look at and just say it didn't make sense at 9 years old, but I gave it time. And 10 years later, it made sense. And that's not what my mother wants to hear. And that's not what any parent or any family member or any friend wants to hear about them losing somebody. You don't want it to make sense. You want that individual here. You want to physically hug them and love them and laugh with them or even fight with them. Like, that's what you, that's not what you want to hear. But all I'm saying to those that have lost and that are losing at the moment, just, they're not dead. They're not gone forever. They'll be with us and they'll reappear and they'll remind you and they'll comfort you and they'll help you find a way to live and not just be content with being alive.
You can see what's happening.
I'm sorry.
How did this happen? This
isn't and I was supposed to have the Kleenex for me.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
It's just that last year I lost my dad, my cousin, and my best friend 1 year.
Wow.
So, I mean, I've been through so much loss. Never a near-death experience for me, so I can't even compare.
Right,
but
right. But
the spiritual part of it, and kind of like, you know, this kind of sense of like, Annabelle is here. She's protecting you. She's watching you. These little messages that things are happening on her birthday for you. Did you always think like, yeah, I'm one of those people who is cool with getting messages from the other side? Or were you one of those people who's like, no, that does not exist?
Oh, no, I believe it 100%.
And always?
Always. I always believed in the other side. I always believed. I don't block that off because I think that once you start to kind of close yourself off to anything, then you stop growing, you stop seeing signs that may prevent you from taking the wrong turn or whatever the case may be. And so right now, and you just mentioned like you haven't personally had a near-death experience, but you've dealt with a lot of loss. And we all have struggle and adversity in common. And that's what connects all of us, is that we're all just trying to survive. And even though your story is different than mine, and mine's different than yours, and ours is different than those listening right now, we all have a story. And we've all dealt or are dealing with struggle, or we will deal with struggle. For me, it's always tough when people like try to compare stories, like mine's not as bad as yours, or yours is. No, who can? Your adversity was the, as I like to call 2003 in Iraq, was my big boom. What you've dealt with, Maria, is your big boom in your life. That's your 2003. That's your equivalent. It didn't have to be necessarily like the same kind of adversity that I felt. This was my big boom. You've had your big boom. And those listening at home, they've had their big boom. And to them, it was big. And to me, maybe I'm like, it's not so big. But to them, it was big. And so it's about all of us essentially listening to each other's stories and validating each other.
JR, thank you so much for speaking with me. I just want to tell you, you know, I don't think it's just anyone who could make me cry. I love this connection.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really happy that you came and spoke
with
us.
Thank you.
I really appreciate
it. Thank you very much. This was great.
That was J.R. Martinez, a veteran, activist, and actor.